John chapter 10, I'll look in verse 10. John 10 and verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Boy, I'm glad that Jesus is the life giver. Amen. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Boy, that was me before I got saved. But boy, after I got saved, I got the love and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart. And then he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. Well, I'm glad he knows us today. Amen. He loves us enough that he's willing to die for us. The hireling was just a paid hand. And when the wolf came, he wasn't going to fight. But thank God Jesus fought for us and died for us. The Bible said in verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And I really believe that was the Gentiles. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Boy, ain't you glad he went willingly. Amen. Nobody took his life, but he gave it freely for me and you. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you again and for the wonderful songs that's been sung, the Spirit of God that's moved during this time. And Lord, we pray for now just a little while. We don't want to mess nothing up. But we feel this would be the message for the hour. And Lord, we're depending on you now. I'm going to try my best to do the best that I know how to preach. But Lord, if you don't come by, it's all going to be in vain today. And so Lord, we pray and that for a touch from heaven. That's all I know to ask for. And Lord, I know if you'll come by and touch us while we preach, it'll be all right today. And God, we thank you for that. And Lord, all I know to do is just ask you to come by and speak to hearts and deal with maybe somebody that's lost. I know they spoke here that's lost right now. And God, I pray you might save them. And Lord, that you just bring them to a place of repentance. Help the one, Lord, that just needs a little strength, a little help, and a little direction in you, and that they'd find it in you today. Now, Lord, again, I'm asking for help, and we thank you again for the wonderful spirit we have filled and the direction that's in our life. Help us now and that for a little while. We'll give you the glory and ask you to save that sinner's nearest hell for these things. In Jesus' name, we do ask and pray. Amen. And amen. Be seated this morning. As the Lord Jesus, as he lays out here and that, I believe, to his disciples. And he's speaking a parable unto them. The Bible said in verse 6, and he tells them that he's the good shepherd. And you know that he's going to save them from the thief. And you know, the Bible talks about in these verses, talks about the thief and the hireling. It talks about the wolf and how the wolf is going to come. Amen. And try to destroy the sheep. But thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and gave himself and one that we can trust in and believe in and lean on. Thank God I try to sing every now and again over at the nursing home, leaning on the everlasting arms. Thank God there's somebody that me and you can lean to this morning and depend on. But I want you to look what he said in verse 18. Now, I'm very mindful of the time this morning. I'm going to hurry up. But I want you to look in verse 18. Jesus said, no man take it from me. Talking about his life. But I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received my Father. And I want you to understand something this morning. friend, we don't have power at that to lay down our life this morning. We don't, we don't decide when we're going to die. We don't decide when we're going to give up our life. Listen, when God says the time's up, that's when our time is up. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And so God appoints our time and that to die. But Jesus said, I have power to lay it down. Listen, at Calvary, the Bible said that he hung his head and he gave up the ghost. Listen, Rome didn't kill him. Jews didn't kill him. Jesus went to Calvary and that willingly and gave himself for us so that we might have life in him. Amen. But I want you to look what he said. I have power to lay it down. In other words, Jesus made up his mind in his time when he was going to lay down his life for us. But then he said, I have power to take it again. And listen, and we know that on the third day that he rose and back from the dead under his own power. Thank God for that, for the power of God. That's what I simply want to preach on today for just a little while, is the power of God in our life. And can I say today that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God by the power of the resurrection. Romans chapter 1 said, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Because of his power, he was declared and that to be the Son of God. Because he lives, amen, he is the Son of God. Can I tell you today that if you live in him, you are a child and that of God. Amen. I'm glad to be alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe and do you know that by the same power that he got up out of the grave is the same power that he saved us and made us alive one day a long time ago? And guess what? In a few days he's going to call those that are in the grave and that to come out, and he's coming and that to get us. Amen. Thank God for that. Boy, it's got a little preachy up here all of a sudden. Amen. Thank God for that. But I tell you, I'm glad that there's power in God today. I'm glad there's power. Listen, Matthew 9 said that he had power to forgive sins. Do you know there's nobody on the face of the earth that has power to forgive sins? Only Jesus and God in glory has power to forgive sins. The Pope can't forgive you. The priest can't forgive you. I can't forgive you. You're futile and wasting your time if you're talking to some knothead through a knot hole down at the Catholic Church thinking that they can abstain or absolve and forgive you of your sins. It can't happen, amen. Only Jesus can forgive sins. But that you may know the Son of Man have power, there it is, on earth to forgive sins. And then he said to the sick of the palsy, arise and take up thy bed and go to thine house. The Bible said in Matthew 9, but that you may know that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sins. Boy, I'm glad of that today, that he's got power to forgive sins. The Bible said that he has all power. Ain't you glad today that he has all power, all judgment, everything has been committed and that to the Son. Listen, but I want to preach on the power of God for just a minute. Now, that word power simply means force or strength or energy or the ability to do something. Can I tell you today that, you know, that we talk about power, a lot of power to do this and power to do that, and we have power to move and power to go and power to talk and power to speak and power to do things and power to think in our mind. But that's only given to us in that by the work and the will of God. And listen, we drive vehicles and motor vehicles that has power to get us from one place and that to another. And we call the engine a power plant. I might be under it. Did you know that that motor won't do no good, or that engine won't do no good unless there's any gas in there? Amen. Hey, you got to put gas in there to make that thing go. And then you got to have some power and that to roll that thing over and get it started. Amen. Amen, right? An electric motor takes electricity, don't it? If I ask you kids, y'all even know where power comes from? Where are these lights? What's causing these lights to burn right here? That's like asking kids, where do their groceries come from, you know? Well, they come from the grocery store. Brian, you don't think your groceries come from the grocery store. Surely they don't come from the grocery store now, do they? Well, where does our power? I mean, listen, this stuff is made over at TVA, over there at Watts Bar, you know, and they ship it on a line and they send it over here and we turn on a light and we say we've got power, amen. Got a power bill in the other day. I'm paying dearly to heat my house right now, amen. They charge us for that power, amen. You know what? God never has charged us for power, amen. He never has, but we need and that the power of God in our life, that force. That move. Can I say that first of all, quickly, number one, I'm trying to be quick. I know. I listen that it won't be found in the world. You can't find the power of God in the world. It ain't out there. Listen, now look, you need to understand all that's out in the world is the devil's power. And I mean, he's out there to deceive, to destroy, and to kill. What did he say back? The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's all that is in the world. You cannot find the power of God out in the world. Luke chapter 4, you say, well, it's the devil. I got power. Well, sure the devil's got power. Well, he does. Listen, he took Jesus over there on a high mountain in Luke chapter 4 and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, the Bible said. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee in the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it, I give it. It was his power and that to give. You know what? Jesus did not rebuke him. Jesus did not rebuke Satan and say, no, it's not yours to give. He just said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God only, and him shalt thou worship. That's what he said. And that's what Satan wanted for that power. But Satan has power. I do not want and that the power of Satan in my life. I don't want it bothering me. And listen, it hinders me enough and that to do my job as I should now. Can I tell you, Satan will hinder you, especially if you'll let him. Let him. Listen, we looked at that in Sunday school this morning. Listen, that fear will come in and it'll hinder if we'll let him. Let me say this today, that if you're lost, you're being held and that by the power of Satan, not me, for you. Hey, might be said in meekness, instructing those that oppose himself at God perpetual, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. You'll never find it in words. You know, you cannot work up the power of God. I've been in a lot of services and watched a lot of people try to work up the power of God. I mean, try to work it up and get it moving and get it flowing. Hey, listen, we can't work it up until he comes by. If you go back and you look in Acts chapter 8, you find a man by the name of Simon. And after he's seen the disciples over there and that lay their hands and those folk received the Holy Spirit, Simon wanted to buy that stuff. And you can't buy that. You remember what the Lord told Nicodemus over there? He said, marvel not that I say unto you that you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Hey, the power of God is the same way. Reach out there and try to get your handful of it sometime. It's just like the wind. Listen, you can't capture the wind. You can see the effects of it. You can hear it and you can feel it, but you can't bottle it up. Well, if I could bottle up the wind, I'd sell it. If I could bottle up the power of God, I'd sell it, but you ain't going to find it in the world. Now listen to me. You won't find it there. But listen, you won't find it working for him. Now wait a minute, preacher. What do you mean? You won't find it working for him. Now, I know that we got to work. I understand we need to work physically and we need to work spiritually. And the Bible said in Matthew 9, he told his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send laborers into the harvest. There's no doubt that we need to work. But friend, we're not going to find the power of God in the work. We need the power of God to do the work. Amen. Hey, listen, he said in 1 Corinthians 3, the apostle Paul, he said, for one watereth, one planteth and one watereth, but it's God that gives the increase. Hey, we need to know how to get God to give the increase. Amen? Amen. Now, preacher, you just take your Bible and look in Luke chapter 10. Look with me in Luke chapter 10. And look in verse 38. I want you to look at what he said. Now, it came to pass. Well, thank God for that. Boy, I'm glad it comes to pass. I underline it every time. Now, it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, I've got that underlined in my Bible. She is sitting at his feet and hearing his word. But Martha was coming about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone, left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now it tells us what the word cumbered means, you see. If you give your King James Bible long enough, it'll tell you what the definitions of some things are. Jesus said, Martha, he said, you're careful and you're troubled about of many things. But one thing is needful. He said, Martha, he said, there's one thing needful. He said, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What was that one part? And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Where was Mary found at? Well, she's found at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he had to say. Take your Bible and go to the book of Ruth. Go to the book of Ruth. I want you to look with me over here. Now, you keep in mind what I just read you. So I'm going to come back to that. But I want you to look in the book of Ruth. A lot of y'all know what I'm about to say. In the book of Ruth, I want you to see. And it says in chapter 2, Ruth chapter 2. It says, and when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean among the sheaves, and I reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. Now thank God. Thank God that the Lord will come by and let a handful of purpose every now and again just fall out and we'll glean off of it. And said, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. Now how much is an ephah of barley? About 5 1/4 gallons. That's about what ephah, if you study that, about 5 1/4 gallons, 5.2 gallons of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her, and she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. So now we find that she's doing what in the field? She's gleaning. She's working. And she got something out of the work. Now it ain't that we won't get anything out of the work. And it ain't that we won't see God move in the work. But go to chapter 3. I want you to look in chapter 3. and look down around verse 13. Now, Naomi has sent her down to the threshing floor and said, lay down there at the feet of Boaz. So go down there and lay at his feet. And so that's what she's done. And so he's talking to her now. And he said, tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the part kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she arose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came under the floor. And also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went unto the city. Now, remember what she got gleaning in the field? Remember what she got? She got 5 1/4 gallons. You know what she got laying at the feet of Boaz? 10 1/2 gallons. If you go back and you look at that when she laid down at the feet of Boaz and was at his feet, you'll find out that she got exactly twice as much by laying at his feet than what she did by gleaning in the field. Can I tell you today that when we get at the feet of Jesus, I believe that we'll get twice as much a lot of times if we'll just get at his feet. You say, well, preacher, how do we get at his feet and get the power of God in our life? And listen, when we begin to learn and get wholly separated and that unto him, that's when the power of God shows up in our life. You know, he did say in Matthew chapter 10 or Matthew chapter 11, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what? I'm 42 years old, been saved since I was 14, and I'm still learning more and more and more about Jesus every day than what I've ever known. What I've ever known. How do you learn about Jesus? You know how you learn about Jesus? You got to get in his book. You want to have the power of God in your life? You're going to have to get in his book. You ain't going to have the power of God without this book. Like I say, folk want to work it up, sing it up, preach it up. Listen, all those things are good. All those things are fine. But the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing the divine center of the soul and the spirit, and in the joints and the mire, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is the book that has power in it today. That's why preaching the gospel, listen, the Bible said in the book of Romans and in the book of 1 Corinthians that it is the gospel that has power. Boy, you brag on him and brag about what Jesus done, how that he came and how that he died so that we might be free. Listen, what do you think of those songs? Bless your heart. When we talk about singing, about being free, thank God, I'm free, I'm free. I'm free. Hey, listen, that's bragging on him. Amen. And he loves that. Amen. He's liable to come by. Listen, I've been praying for God just to come by and meet with us. I want him to come by and meet with us. And I believe if we'd brought, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. I believe if we lift him up, I believe that does the trick. I believe we got to brag on him. But we find the power of God in this book. The Bible said in the book of Jeremiah, is not my word as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces. It is the book, it is the word of God that has power in it, that does the job. Amen. How much of the book do you know? You want the power of God in your life? Do you read the Bible? Do you? I find my time a lot of the times always reading to try to find a message. Always reading, try to find a message. And a lot of times I'll miss what God would have me to know. Don't you want the power of God in your life? Now listen, I'm talking about where he's so real. I mean, that you can reach out and touch him. And you can reach out and grab. Say, preacher, you're talking crazy. Hey, listen, no. Listen, I'm not. I know what it's like to be around God. I know what it's like to have him around me. I know what it's like. And you know what it's like if you've been here any time at all. I know what it's like when God blows through our meeting and shows up. I've seen him do it. I've seen him come out of nowhere and do that. But I remember I stood up one Wednesday night. Man, this has probably been 8 or 9 years ago. And I was on a Wednesday night. And I just felt like when we got done praying, to let folk testify. And I remember stood up and I said, well, has anybody got a testimony? Man, that thing took off. And folk, you all got to bragging on him. And the next thing you know, he come by. And he began to stir in hearts. You know what? I love it when he stirs in my heart. He stirred in my heart out of this book just last night. I got to reading over about Joseph. I got to reading everything Joseph went through and everything that his brothers put him through. And by the way, that's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way. And I got to looking at that, studying on that. And can you imagine? Can you imagine when they come down there, when they come down there and they come for that corn that was down in the land of Egypt, his 10 brothers showed up. And finally, Benjamin come down there too. And his daddy got down there. Can you imagine the homecoming that they had? Now, they're the ones that sold Joseph out. And I begin to think about that and consider that. Do you realize that now stay with me. It may not mean a big deal to you, but I thought about, you know, God chose the nation of Israel to be his people. Right? Right? God chose the nation of Israel to be his people. You know, there's going to be a day that he's going to restore them. Can you imagine that day when he restores them? Now think about that for just a minute. He loved them. I mean, look through all the Old Testament. I mean, only 2/7 of it applies to the church. And I mean 5/7 of it applies to the nation of Israel. Can you imagine when God gets to restore them back and they're put back together as a family? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how happy the Lord's going to be and how happy Israel's going to be? I just think about that stuff sometimes. And boy, God just flipped my heart over. I thought, man, what a day. Can you imagine? I got to study on that and looked at it on a spiritual avenue. Can you imagine when we get to heaven? Can you imagine the reunion that's going to take place when we get to heaven? Man, hear them boys come down there. And the Bible said that Joseph's heart just yearned and burned in him. He wanted them to know who he was, but he was hiding himself out for just a little bit. But finally, he made himself known. Boy, and they had a reunion down there. But the Word of God. If you want power with God, I'm talking about for when we need to talk to him, that God will listen. And God, you know what? If you don't care enough to pick up your Bible and read it, I've got a very good suspicion that God probably ain't going to really listen what you have to say. Why should he? Do you have to listen to what he has to say? Amen? Why would God want to listen to what you have to say if you're not willing to listen to what he has to say? Huh? Listen. Listen, that book is important. This book's important. Why do you think the Bible tells in 2 Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? If you want power with God, you'll find it in this book. It's got power. You need to read it and then apply it unto your life. You need to read. Now I'm talking about how to have power. Now remember, he talked about in the book of John that he has power to let dead, power to take it again. And we need that power in our life. But that power is found starting in this book right here. And you won't find it living in the world. You need to understand that. You won't find the power of God living in the world. You know why? Because there's no godly power out there. You know, if you spend all your time watching TV and listening to country and rock and roll music and all those things, living in the world, doing all things that the world's got to do, you'll never find the power of God in your life. You got to learn how to spend some time alone with God. Alone. I mean, get along with God. Spend some time in prayer. You ever spent some time alone in prayer with God? You ever fasted? So, preacher, it don't look like you've been doing too much of it. I ain't done much of it lately. I've done some, but I just ain't done a whole lot of it. Amen. But listen, when's the last time that you just got alone with God? Now, my wife will tell you, I have a prayer time. I believe in praying. But you know, my problem is sometimes that the Bible said in Matthew 6, said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter in into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door. Now, you know what I'm about to say. Now, I'm good at getting in my prayer closet. But I'm awful hard sometimes of shutting the door. Amen. Now I'm talking about getting in a place. I'm talking about getting in a place to where we just begin to talk to God. I mean, get away from the kids, your mamas, you get away from your husband for a little while and say, boy, they just ain't a whole lot of time in the day. I know to do that, I know that. And daddy's got to get away. I listen and steal away and pray. I know that there's just not a lot of time in the day when you're raising a family and working and doing all those things. But listen, I'm begging of you to find some time. If it's just 15, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, turn the TV off. I do something, get away and that with God and shut the door and begin to pray, and you'll find the power of God in your life begin to come in. Them old timers knew about the power of God. You know why? They knew how to pray. Knew how to pray. Knew how to pray. I really wished I knew how to pray. Sometimes I think I do. But sometimes I wonder about me a lot. I'll be honest with you. But I want to see God move. Don't you want to see God move? Amen. I want to see God move in your home. I pray for your young ones. I do. I pray for you. I pray for your children. And you know, the shame of it is sometimes I wait till late up in the evening to pray, and I'll get down in the study in there and begin to pray, and I've told you this a million times, and I'll find myself waking up and praying. I feel like Peter over there when the Lord said, could you just not have watched 1 hour and prayed? But he said, when you enter in to your closet and shut the door, pray to your Father, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which saith in secret shall reward thee openly. I'm glad God hears and sees our prayers, and he rewards. Do you want the power of God? You're going to start in the book. You're going to start in the book. You're going to have to be separated and that out of the world. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that perfect and acceptable will of God. You can't mess around in the world and expect the power of God in your life. You can't come in on Sunday morning and not have prayed for the service and wonder why God didn't come by. Well, I mean, really, why should I expect God and that to help me how to preach if I've not spent any time in His book and not spent any time in prayer prior to the week before? Why should I expect God and that to come by and help me? Then, if we want the power of God in our life and in our church service, we need to learn to pray. Learn to pray. Learn to pray. Learn to seek God. I'm going to tell you, sometimes praying, we got to get in agony about some things. We've got to learn to be humble and have some humility and that before God. The Bible said in James 4, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. God ain't going to have nothing to do with us if we're proud when we come before him. As a preacher got up to preach one time, and there was a young preacher, and his preacher let him preach, and he got up and he knew he had the message. And as a matter of fact, I heard another preacher one time say, boys, I believe I got a red hot one right now. And that thing was dry as cracker juice, man. Hey, I'm telling you, preachers, when we approach this thing, we'll approach with humility, with all the humility in the world that we can muster up, work up, whatever we got to do to get some humility out before God to cry out. Hey, because they said that young preacher got up there and he preached and he fell on his face and he walked down, and his preacher said, if you would have just went up the way that you come down. Amen. But just not only preachers, we've got to learn to have humility. Humility stops Phariseeism and legalism. I love being right. Now, you can ask my wife. I love to be right. I love to win at whatever we're playing. I want to win. Amen. Love to be right. And I love to be right in this scripture. But listen, there's nothing about Mark that there is the glory in. See, the Pharisee and the legalist, they glory in their own righteousness. Yes, we've lined up with the Word of God. Yes, we're doing right for what the Bible says. But the Bible said, therefore let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify therefore your Father which is in heaven. It's not to glorify us, to glorify Him. Whatever we do, whether it is to preach or to sing or just to go out in the world and live for Him, whatever it is, it's not to bring glory to us, but to bring glory to Him. Say, Lord, let my light shine so that folk may see you in me. I got to praying that the other day. I just want folk to see something different in me. Something different. You want the power of God? You better learn to have some humility in your life. He resisteth the proud. Bible said he resisteth the proud and giveth more grace unto the humble. I just want God to be able to work in my life. I want God to be able to do something with my life. I want God to be able to do something with this church. When we come and meet, there ought to be enough power in here, church, that we prayed and that we've read and we've sought God and we're humble, that if a lost sinner had not come in here, that conviction would be so heavy that they'd have to get saved. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. You ever just been around somebody that's got God all over them? I mean, they're just dripping in that with the dew of heaven. I mean, God is all over them. And you just look at it and see him all over them. You know how I know? I've been around some men like that. And you know how I know they've got there? I've talked to them, and I know what they've done in their book. I know what they've done in their daily Bible reading. And all you have to do is talk to them for a little while. And you know what? And they want to be more humble. They don't think they're humble enough. And I'm standing here thinking, I'm thinking, man, how much more humble can they get? How much more humility can there be in their life? And I mean, God's just dripping off of them. I listen, why? They've got to know the God of this Bible and his power. I long for that. David talks about seeing him in his sanctuary. I do like it when he comes by. And I want him to come by. I pray for him to come by. I beg for him to come by. And the Holy Spirit to come by and deal with folks' hearts. And listen, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the power of God so real that I mean, you can feel him. And I've done that. I know how that I've done that and seen that. And don't you just want him to come by and speak to you personally and deal with you personally and use you personally? And God, just be so real in your life. But you know what? God ain't going to be real in your life, and his power ain't going to be real in your life until you get in this book, until you spend time in prayer. Say, preacher, I ain't got time to pray. I ain't got to. No, you just won't make time to pray. You won't make time to read your Bible. I used to get up every morning. I was working a public job. I'd be at work at 7 o'clock. It was 45 minutes to the job. I'd get up every morning and do my daily Bible reading before I left the house. I timed it the other day. I read 3 chapters in 10 minutes. 3 chapters. I read 3 chapters in 10 minutes. Said, well, preacher, and that's not even reading fast. I'm not a fast reader. I mean, y'all think I stutter sometimes. I told my wife, I said, man, I'm beginning to stutter more and more and more. And I stutter when I read. It's fine sometimes. Y'all think I'm kidding. I have to go back and read it again and read it again and still read 3 chapters in 10 to 15 minutes. More about Jesus would I know. More of his grace to others show. More about Jesus. The more we know about him and the more we let him shine in our life, the more that he comes out of our life, you know, the more the power of God's going to be evident and it's going to be real in our life. I just want the power of God. I've been scattered this morning. I just want the power of God. Jesus said, have power let down, have power take in. You get to know him. You get to know him. Listen, that power ought to be evident in our life today. It ought to be evident. Don't you want the power of God in your life? Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's bow our heads. If you've never been saved, let's come on, fellas, get a verse of invitation. If you've never been saved, listen, this morning will be a good morning. Jesus loves you. Why don't you come and get saved? Why do you keep putting it off? Why do you keep turning away every time he knocks? Why do you put it off? Say, preacher, I sure would love to have the power of God in my life like you're talking about, like other preachers have talked about, and like Mom and Daddy's talking about, and them old timers is talking about. I'd love to see when I pray that God would come by, that he would move because I talk to him. Well, how much time are you spending with him? How much time? How much time do you spend with him? How much time do you get along with him? Get to know him. You know, the more time that you get to spend along with him and you get to know him, the more we get to be like him. And the more we get to be like him, the more pleased he gets to show through us. He'll shine out and radiate. Can I ask you, is the Lord radiating out of your life today? When folks see you, do they see Christ? When they look at you, do they see Christ in your life? Listen to you talk and look at your life. Because see, that's all some people's ever going to see. They're going to know much about you, but they're going to look at you. What they see in you.
So power of God rests in your life and on you. Friend, it can't be without the Word of God in it. It can't be without prayer time. And I know this is so simple, and I know that I preached on it several times over the years. But friend, it's so true. If you want God in your life, you're going to have to get to know Him. You're going to have to spend some time alone with Him. How about it? Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll help during this invitation. Lord, I've done all that I know to do and done the best that I know to do. And I pray that You'll come by and help this morning. Help somebody. Lord, I believe that You tried to help somebody during the singing. I really do. Lord, that You were longing to help somebody during the singing. But Lord, right now, during this invitation, I pray folk would see the seriousness of having You in our life. And Lord, just not living a so-called Christian life, but one that's real. I mean a real Christian life. One where You reside in it and work in it. And we depend and we look to You and You deal with us. And Lord, I pray You'd help somebody that might need to come. Again, Lord, I've done the best that I know how, and I pray that You'll take it and that You've used it. Help during this invitation for these things in Jesus' name.